We're back in Ruth again today. Ruth, the second chapter. We'll be starting in verse 17. The story of Ruth so far is 10 years earlier, her and her family and her husband and two sons. There was a famine in Bethlehem, Judea, and they decided the grass would be greener over in Moab. Well, they found it wasn't. They were in a place God didn't want them to be. Elimelech, her husband, Naomi's husband, died, and the sons had gotten wives from Moab, from the women of Moab, and they too died, and so you had three widows alone in a washpot called Moab. One decided to go home to her family in Moab. The other decided to follow Naomi back to her home and to claim Naomi's God as her God, changing her life completely. And so they went back to Bethlehem where they had nothing. All of her family fortune was gone. No way to take care of themselves. Ruth decided that she would go and she would glean from the fields to gather the leftovers. And maybe they could feed themselves for a day. Well, it wasn't really happened. God, in His providence, determined and led her to a field that would change her and Naomi's life forever. Ruth there met the owner of the field, a guy named Boaz. And there she was going to find grace in that field. She might not have realized exactly what God was doing, but it will soon be apparent to her exactly how great this God that she claimed to be her own, how great He was. So Ruth, the Moabitess, gone to the field of Boaz to glean barley. And while she was there, she met the owner of the field, Boaz, and she caught his eye. She ate lunch at his table, and he personally served her food. They went out on a first date, and she didn't even know it. That's exactly what happened. You know, it's one of those dates where one person understands it's a date and the other person thinks they're just having lunch. And when she left the field that day, she left with more than she had bargained for. She returns from that evening weary and tired from her labors. She has a tale to tell too to Naomi. You won't believe what just happened to me today. All day, her mother-in-law, Naomi, would have been waiting for her to return with enough grain for just a little meal. Just enough to keep them by for that day. That's all she was expecting. And when Ruth does return, she's loaded down with enough grain to last them over a week. Not only does she have grain, but she has some good news to tell as well. So I want to share that good news with you today. I want to be able to share it with you and understand that it wasn't just Ruth and Naomi's good news, but it's good news for us too. It's good news from the field of grace. And it'll help each of us grow in our own walk with the Lord. So let's look in verse 17. Good news about their provisions. Good news in verse about their provisions. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. The provisions here were designed to satisfy. When Ruth returns home, she has 25 pounds of barley, enough for 2 weeks, or just about 2 weeks worth of food. Boaz wanted her to get so much in his field that she would never, ever dream about going to someone else's field. We talked about that a lot last week, didn't we? About how people, even though God has got this field of grace ready for us and was willing to give it, how people today go to somebody else's field to glean. Our Heavenly Father has determined to bless His people. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." He has blessed us. This is not prosperity message. But I will tell you that if you're gleaning in the field of God's grace, He will bless you. He's promised this. He wants to give us so much that you'll never think about going anywhere else to glean. And Ruth's words to Naomi in verse 21 serve to show that the blessings would continue even until the end of the harvest. In other words, God doesn't intend to stop blessing you until you leave this world. May not seem like it, but it's not His intention. He wants to bless. And then, after we leave this world, the real blessings begin after that. I mean, the stuff that really matters. In chapter 2, verse 7 of Ephesians, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. In the time to come, He's going to bless us now, but there will be a greater blessing when we leave this field. Let's look at verse 18. "Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied." Naomi was tired. Oh, by the way, if you think this was just charity and didn't have to work for it, not only did she have to gather all this amount up, but she had to beat it out and get it prepared, and then she had to put it in a sack and she had to carry it home. She didn't have servants to do it. That's what she had to do. And so she's dead tired. She may have gotten it for free, but she had to work. There was effort on her part. Let me tell you, there's a lot of folks today that want free stuff but don't want to work for it. There's a lot of folks who would say, "Well, I know that I can do that, but I just that's too much work." A lot of people like that today. But look what here. Can you see Ruth? Now remember, she's not accepted by anybody in Bethlehem. She is a foreigner. She's a Moabite. She is a dog to them. But she's with Naomi, so yeah, we'll give her, cut her some slack. She's carrying this 25 pounds across her shoulder and heads into the city. Everyone who sees her pass by knows that she is that Moab girl. They know she has it nothing. And now most of them know she has gone to the field of Boaz to glean. And then they see her with this big bag of blessings. And they just watch her. What? It might be that Boaz is actually making a statement to the community that the sacks of grain trumpeted, "I've got my eye on Ruth, and I'm going to make her going to be a blessing in her life." I want you to picture this. Isn't that what God does when you turn your focus and your life to Him, and when He starts blessing and everybody looks around and says, "Whoa, what's going on with that person's life? What's going on with your life? Why? There's something different." And it catches the lost people's eye, the people of the community, and they look. Just as they looked and saw Ruth going, she shouldn't have had that blessing. But there it was. We don't deserve it either. But we can have it, and it'll be a witness to the world. God's blessings in your life are designed to show a lost world just how good God is. He blesses his people to create a desire in the hearts of those who don't know him. And that's why he gives us grace for living. It's for us, but it's also to show a lost and dying world that there's a better field to glean in. One that shows grace and mercy and gives blessings. And so as we live out the real blessings of God, the world's going to be affected by God's work in us. You realize that? The world will be affected by God's work in us. And what are the real blessings of God? Let's look in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. These are the blessings. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That is the blessings that he gives us. It's much more than just 2 weeks worth of barley. Because in 2 weeks, guess what? It's gone. These things can last. These things can change people's lives. A child of God who displays these graces in his or her life is a child of God who works in victory. Who walks in victory. Notice in the last part of verse 18, it talks about they were designed to share. Not only does she share the bounty of her provision with Naomi, but she also shares the remaining part of her portion that was given by Boaz in verse 14. Everything was shared. Now, we're not simply to hoard up the blessings of God. When you look at these blessings, those are not just for us. We are to take them, use them in our life, and to share them with other people. It doesn't matter if you have all these in your life if you're not sharing them. You're not showing people these things. Well, it's kind of pointless, isn't it? Kind of selfish. So whatever we've been blessed by God with, whatever's been given to us to use for His glory, His blessings are given so that we might share them with others. And Ruth got what she did because she was willing to work for it. She gleaned it. She got it. And the same is true in spiritual matters. Not talking about salvation. We're talking about blessings from God. You get something, you get out of something as much as you put into it. You can't expect God to bless if you don't go to the field. You can't expect God to bless if you expect somebody to carry it home for you. You can't expect God to bless if you're not willing to go back because it's too much work. It takes too much time. Whether it be prayer, worship, or just victory in your daily life, it is not for the lazy. It is work. God's best is reserved for those who are willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Him. So that's good news. If you are willing to spiritually work, God will bless. I think too many times we've got so many Christians who are spiritually lazy. They expect God to bless while they sit home doing nothing, while they stop praying. They expect God to bless while they're out sinning. Why, they expect God to bless while they're in someone else's field, the world's field. God doesn't bless unless you're in His field of grace, doing what you're supposed to do in your life. But now we're going to talk about good news about a person. So she told her about the grain. That was pretty obvious. There's the grain. That's good news. Anytime that you're going to be able to be fed for 2 weeks and you don't have to worry about it, that's good news. That's like giving you a freezer full of meat to smoke and cook up. That'd be awesome. Yeah. But you know what? Eventually I'd run out. But it'd be awesome for the time. But now she's going to have some good news about a man. About a person. Let's look in verse 19. And her mother-in-law said to her,
Where have you gleaned today? That'd be the first question. Where did you get this? Where did you work? And she says, well, you know, she's thinking, whoever. Blessed be the one who took notice of you.
Blessed be the one who took notice of you. Well, when Naomi sees that all that Ruth has returned with, she's overwhelmed and begins to praise the person who has given them this much. I would be too. It's a good deal. Man, wasn't expecting this. Whoever did this for you is awesome. And she can easily see that you don't get this much just by merely gleaning. It wasn't because Ruth was superhuman and was knocking everybody out of the way to get to the leftovers. She knows that someone had blessed them with an open hand. Someone had intervened. Someone had helped. And she blesses the person who has taken knowledge of thee, paid attention to her. Naomi realizes the person who gave them this grain and noticed Ruth and wanted to be a special blessing to her. We've all had times in our lives where someone had given us a special blessing. Think about it. And you go, why? You didn't have to. Yes, you did. They did. They wanted to. And you're overwhelmed by the generosity. And Ruth here was overwhelmed. Naomi doesn't know it yet, and neither does Ruth. But Ruth has been noticed by someone who is interested in knowing her better. He's interested in her situation. He's interested. If he had not been interested, he would have never done this for her. You know, the Lord's interested in you this morning. You realize that? Doesn't seem like it sometimes. Sometimes we don't even notice his interest. Wherever you may be in your spiritual journey, Jesus is interested in knowing you better. If you're lost today, he's interested in your salvation. He wants you to become one of his. And if you're cold and backslidden, he's interested in knowing you intimately. He wants you to get close. He wants to know you. It's not enough for you to have this relation of father and son, but he wants to get to know you. And if you're defeated in this life, if you feel defeated, hopeless, and lost, he is interested in leading you to a place of power and victory. He has got everything right now. He's got everything in his hands that you need to solve your problems and your issues. Whether it's for salvation or backsliding or just feeling defeated in life, he is offering his grace to you. The question is, are you interested in what he has to offer? Too many people are refusing his offer when he's interested in you. But look in the rest of the verse. No, go back to 19. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, okay, well, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Something snapped with Naomi. She goes, what? The person here is Boaz, and he's not only interested in Ruth's situation, but now he's involved. He has opened his hands and his heart to her and is taking active steps to improve her situation. He is busy working behind the scenes to do what Ruth needs. He is involved in her life. And our heavenly Boaz, God, is involved in your life. And there are times when we can't see him, we don't know what's going on, when his hand is not visible in our life, but you can rest assured that he's actively working on your behalf to fulfill his plan for your life. I do not know what hope, what, you know, what he has in my plans for tomorrow. And neither do you. But I know that if we're gleaning, still continue gleaning in his field of grace, and that we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, I know that his plan will be awesome. Even though I can't see it today. No matter what my situation may be today. In verse 20 and 21. She said Boaz, she says, I remember that name. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, ye shall stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. Ruth's going, what are you talking about? He is an instrument in the situation. Even Boaz doesn't realize to the extent that he's being used. Right now, he's seen a good-looking woman that he's attracted to, and he is, he's courting her. That's what he's doing. But he doesn't realize that he is fulfilling God's plan, not only for Naomi, not only for Ruth, but for himself. This is God's plan, and he doesn't realize right now. He just says, I just got to spend more time with this girl. He had become an instrument in the hand of the Lord. He's an instrument of revival. Naomi was a defeated and discouraged woman. She is this because of her backslidden condition. However, when Ruth returns from the field of grace with good news of Boaz, Naomi goes, I have hope again. There is hope. All it takes one time, wouldn't you like to have that one phone call or that one letter that's not a bill and give you all kinds of hope for the rest of your life? This was this moment for Naomi, where she was defeated. Oh, that's good you brought grain, but what are we going to do after that? And then when she realized who Boaz was and what Boaz could do and could be, and that he was so interested in Ruth, she says, I have hope. Blessed be the God of this man. God has used this man to encourage the heart of one of his children. And you may be in a position this morning in which you followed your heart to grow cold. You've allowed your heart to grow cold and hard towards the things of the Lord. I just want to remind you that you're his, and he knows where you are, and that one day he'll show up and set things right in your heart and your life. Just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. There's hope. One of the steps of getting back to the place of his best blessings is to come before him and deal with whatever it is in your life that's lacking. Just deal with it. He's an instrument of redemption. And as Naomi listens to Ruth speak, the wheels of her mind are turning. She's just thinking. Okay, he's next. He's kin. He's rich. He's got his eye on Ruth. There's something special about Ruth here. She hears the name and says that he is near of kin. And so this means that she thinks that he might be a distant relative of theirs. And then she remembers who he is and says, he is one of our next kinsmen. Okay, now she begins to realize what all the Lord is doing. In his providence, he has brought Ruth into contact with the one who has the right of redemption according to the law. In Leviticus 25, it talks about a well-planned idea of redemption, of buying property of someone who is kin, can reclaim the lands, can restore the lands of one who is in this situation. God knew. The minute this law was given, who it was for. He knew about Ruth. He knew about Naomi. And in this situation, Ruth was thinking, could it be? Could it be that he is our kinsman redeemer? You can almost see her regaining her spiritual confidence. There is hope. You can have hope here today too because of your kinsman redeemer. For a man to be a kinsman redeemer, three things had to be true. The first is he had to be related. Okay? These are the qualifications. He had to be related. Boaz was related. Guess what? Jesus is related, isn't he? He came to this earth in the form of a baby to become one of us so that he could redeem us. He had to be able to redeem. I wish that I could just solve all your problems. If money could solve all your problems, I wish I could solve. I don't have the ability to do that. And the same with, we just don't have the ability to redeem. Boaz had the money to buy back all the lands and to take care of whatever needed to be done to redeem this family. Guess what? Jesus has the ability to do what is necessary where no one else can, and that's redeem us. From a sinless life sacrificed up for us, he can and it can redeem. Now, just because you're related and just because you're able to redeem doesn't mean you want to. And he had to be willing to redeem. But everything Boaz is doing suggests that he was willing to do whatever. And we're going to find out exactly what he was willing to do later on. Let me tell you what. You're talking about a price for our redemption? It cost Jesus tremendously. Not everybody be willing to pay that price, but he did. He paid it with his life at the cross of Calvary. He loved us so much that he was willing to redeem us there. These women needed a redeemer. And you have one if you'll accept him. And his name is Jesus, and he died for you. So if you'll take a minute, just think about what all the Lord has done for you. If you're saved, and you have to admit there have been a lot of reasons to praise his name and rejoice in him this morning. Lots of reasons, lots of blessings. Lots of time gleaning in the field of grace where he's blessed us. Are you doing it? Is that where you're at now? He's also an instrument of refreshment. Ruth tells Naomi in verse 21 that she is going back to the field of grace to work until the harvest is ended. Well, I'm going back there. He told me to. And I want to. In other words, they're going to keep enjoying plenty because of this man named Boaz. So I imagine that every day he reminded the reapers to be looking for her, to keep dropping some handfuls on purpose for Ruth. Every day he would see that she had parched corn, a cool drink of water, and all the grain she could carry when she left the field. I'm certain that they had lunch together every day. He was going to be a blessing to Naomi and Ruth. So just a reminder to you, to us who are living on spiritual scraps this morning, that we're just getting enough to keep us alive. You know, Jesus wants to load your wagon. He wants to give you such spiritual blessings in life, and he wants you to be overflowing. He has glory and power and victory and blessing for every one of his children. Look in Romans 8:37. It says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And in 1 Corinthians it tells us, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He is able to transform whatever situation we're in today. He is able to transform it into victory for him and ultimately blessings for us. And all we got to do is realize the hope. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in life right now. Ultimately, if we're gleaning in the field of God's grace, and we're getting to know the Master better and better, He's going to take care of us and He's going to give us these blessings. And so it is. But this isn't for the lazy. It isn't for someone who just thinks God's going to shower all this stuff and nothing in return. For Ruth to get what Boaz wanted her to have, when he would have to go to the field of grace, she'd have to go to the field of grace every day. I have a feeling she kind of wanted to. Put up with that hard work and go see Boaz every day. Having that sweet talk with him and as he's taking care of her. Isn't that the way our life should be, talking to our Lord and our Savior? Shouldn't we have that kind of relationship, wanting to know Him better and Him wanting to be close to us? So your walk in the Lord is no stronger, no deeper, no greater than you want it to be. If you want the best, then you have to pay the price in prayer, in holiness, and in time spent in communion with the Lord. It's up to you how much you glean, how many blessings that you get in your life. It's up to you. So if there's a lack in your life spiritually, it's not because of the person next to you or the people around you in your life. If you're lacking spiritually, it's not because of a terrible message or terrible song service. It's not about anyone else. If you're lacking spiritually in your life, it is on you. You can't blame anybody else for your lack of spirituality. She could have stayed at home and said, "Why don't you just send all this stuff over to me with your men?" He didn't do that. He didn't ask that. He wanted her to be there. And He wants us to be there in order to be blessed. If you want to see the problem, look no farther from your nearest mirror. Church service is boring. I can't get anything out of the message. You're missing the point. You've got to put your time in with the Lord. Better yet, look no farther than your own heart. For there lies the problem. And there lies the solution too. Because God can change your heart. Did you need to hear some of this morning? I know I did. They're truths. All found hidden within a love story. But let me tell you something. There's something very important about a kinsman redeemer. Something we'll go more into later on, but there's something about that when you picture it with Christ, it just all of a sudden makes your life real. It makes it real with Him. Does your relationship and the fellowship of the Lord need help today? So the first step is to take a step in His direction. So if He's challenged you as a believer about your personal walk with Him, then you come to the altar and do something about it. Change can happen to you today. And if He showed you that you're lost and headed to hell, then get down here and just receive Christ into your heart and your life. Don't say, "I might think about it, I may do it." No, God wants you to do that today. He wants to know you. He wants you to be one of His children. And that's the good news. Two pieces of great news, not only for Ruth and Naomi, but for us here today. He will bless us, He'll take care of us, and He will redeem us if we allow Him to. If we'll put the time in. So there's good news from the field of grace. But it'll never help you. This good news will never help you unless you act upon it. Unless you deal with it at a personal level here. It's one thing to know about this good news. We can cure cancer if you'll take this pill. Well, that's great news. But if you don't take the pill, guess what? I know that Jesus Christ can save my soul. I know that He died on the cross for me. if I accept him as Savior, but I'm not going to. But I know he will. I know that Jesus can change my life. I know that he can give me hope and joy in a life. I know that he can bring me back from my backslidden position. But I know this. But I don't think I want to. So you have to act upon it. It's more than just knowing. And so at this moment today, what is it that God is wanting you to act upon? What is it that God is wanting you to do? What is it that he's wanting you to glean from his field of grace? Whatever it is, now is the time to act upon it and to do it. Can you imagine Ruth saying, you know, this is a whole lot of stuff here. I think I'll just go home with my little bitty portion. Because it's too much to process, too much to take home. So many folks who are leaving their spiritual blessing just sitting there. Because Lord help them, they may have to do something. Don't be that person. Be the one that actively goes out looking for God's blessings and his field of grace. As we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know what God has in store for you. I don't know what he has in store for me. But I do know one thing. There are blessings to be found in everything in our lives because he's provided it for us. He has left handfuls of blessings on purpose for us. Will we reach down and pick them up and take them home into our heart of life? This morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, he can redeem you. He can become your kinsman and redeemer. And no matter what situation you're in, he is able and willing to redeem you. And if you're here today and you're off trying to glean in other fields of this world, come home to him. Come home to his field of grace. So as we sing,